This call is being recorded.
God bless you. This is Pastor Lassiter of the Biblical Learning Ministries, based out of Central Pennsylvania, Lancaster County. And tonight's teaching is going to cover power in the kingdom of God, how to walk in the power of the kingdom. What is it? What do we have? How is it given? How was it given? What type of assets do we have in the kingdom? Those things that every believer in Christ should know. Without understanding how to operate in kingdom, sometimes it makes it difficult to know how to defend when certain things happen in your life. And the power in the kingdom can be traced all the way back to the book of Revelations, chapter 12, when Satan was actually cast out of heaven. When there was a battle between Michael and his angels and against Satan and his angels, the Bible is clear about there's a distinction between angels. It's more like a civil war, if you will, between angels there. And so you have one group going against another group. The Bible says that, of course, the devil did not prevail. So he was cast out of heaven. Now, throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, there's quite a number of references in regards to power. You cannot have power that's delegated by God unless there's a presence of a power in the demonic realm. Otherwise, why there would be a power at all? So the Lord gave power because there was a presence of another. So the book of John chapter 1, St. John chapter 1 has a verse. The most of this teaching is going to come from the book of Luke. But St. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Power was given to become the sons of God. This happens when somebody gets saved. When someone gets saved, when they confess Christ as Lord and Savior, what happens spiritually is the spirit man gets renewed. It begins a process of being renewed. And when that happens, by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, at that moment, they become a child of God. So here when it says, gave you power to become the Son of God, that power means authority, but also the ability to be in the kingdom. Because that ability was once, dare I say, tarnished because of the original sin that happened in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve. So due to that, there was a necessity for us to become part of him, because we were born in sin, shaping iniquity. So book of John, verse 12 speaks about the power to become a son of God. Now, this power is regarded to form a salvation, evangelistic type of initial step. Because once you become a son of God, you don't continuously become. Once you become a son of God, you become what the Bible says regards to being written in the last book of life. There are many books in heaven, but there's a book of life that has basically everyone who is part of the kingdom. So this verse deals with becoming a son of God. All right. So yeah, Christ gave us this power here. The book of Luke deals with a access to kingdom that's more apostolic. It goes beyond the initial power to become a son of God. The book of Luke deals with access and understanding what it is. So the book of Luke, chapter 10, and the very first verse, Luke 10, chapter 1, mentions the 70 that Jesus appointed. This 70 is outside of the original 12 that the Lord has set aside. The original 12, as we know, were the original disciples. But the Lord set out 70 outside of the 12. So Luke 10, at the very first verse of the very first chapter, it says, "In these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come." So he sent 70 out. He sent them by twos, because the Bible says, when two and three gather in his name, he's in the midst. And also, and by his word, let two or three witnesses establish it. So two were paired so that he could be in the midst and his word could be established. Third thing is the final part of that verse where it mentions that Christ sent them out where he would also go. That means that he was establishing jurisdiction. When operating things of the Lord, you must know where you need to be. So when Christ said he sending them out to where he will also go, he was establishing jurisdiction. He didn't even allow his own disciples to go to the Gentiles just yet. He said, go to the lost sheep of Israel, because there was an appointed time for the Gentiles to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you study the Bible, you understand that God moved through Paul to touch some of the Gentiles. The Gentiles, during the time of Christ, they were administered by him, but not necessarily by the disciples just yet. Because he told them, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall see power. They had to wait to minister to the Gentiles because the Gentiles didn't have a basic foundation of the law. The lost sheep of Israel would have, but the Gentiles would have not. And so to minister to Gentiles who don't have a basic foundation of the law, it would have required certain gifts of the Spirit, such as word of wisdom and word of knowledge and discernment of Spirit, which did not come yet on the apostles until Acts chapter 2. So he told them to wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Until that happened, they were only sent and commissioned to minister to the lost sheep of Israel. But of course, after Christ ascended, he gave them the Great Commission, which included ministering to every creature to the utmost parts of the earth in those days. So Luke 10, he sends out 70. He gives them instructions to go where he will also go. When you fast forward Luke 10, you find in verse 17 that they come back with a good report. They're very excited because they've seen demons get cast out of an unknown number of people. Now, this particular 70, we don't know what their names were. We know they have a name, but to us, they are 70 people who we do not have a name of. Now, why did the Lord pick 70? It's not an odd number. In the Old Testament, the Lord had took portions of the anointing that was on Moses and put it on 70 elders. to help basically delegate and handle some of the smaller affairs so that Moses wouldn't be overburdened. So he took a portion of the anointing on Moses and put it on 70 elders. The Sanhedrin, the high court at that time, that was made of Pharisees and Sadducees, had 71 members. And the person who oversaw the Sanhedrin was actually a high priest. So Christ being the most high priest, he sends out 70. He's fulfilling what happened in the Old Testament and also showing how delegated authority looks like. So verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Christ was alive at that time. He wasn't on the cross yet. So were they casting out demons in his name while he was alive? What did they do? He said, we was able to cast out demons through your name. He was sent by, they were sent by him. So since they were sent by him, they had the delegated authority to cast out demons because they were sent by him. Jesus has always been the Son of God. He was only on the earth for 3.5 years. When he was born, it was commanded that he shall be named Jesus. But before he was given the name Jesus, he was always the Son of God. Always, always the Son of God. It so happened he was wrapped up in flesh and given the name Jesus. Hallelujah. But he was always the Son of God. So when the 70 were sent, they were able to cast out demons because the Son of God always had that authority. But the 70 are rejoiced. They are excited because they haven't experienced this before. And the language that they used were the demons were subject unto us through the name, through Jesus' name. Jesus saw that they need to understand some things because we are not anybody special. And in a deliverance session, if somebody is casting out demons or getting delivered, one of the tactics that demons would try to do was actually have that person overly focused on themselves, being misdirected, misguided, and they want that person, the deliverance method, by the way, to focus on themselves instead of Christ. Once you focus on yourself and not on Christ, you take yourself out of the jurisdiction you need to operate in deliverance. So Christ says in response, he said, and he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, the Lord doesn't use comparisons without a reason or a cause. Lightning is one of the quickest things you can see with your naked eye. You blink and it's gone. But Christ mentioned lightning for a couple of reasons. One, We had a brief interruption there. But getting back, this is part two. So getting back to Destination Rock Christ Mission Lightning, and said he beheld Satan lightning going up from heaven. The Lord was mentioning how he was already, that the Lord himself existed before man was even created, number one. Number two, lightning moves quick. So he was explaining just how God feels about pride, God feels about arrogance, and just how quickly the devil was removed from heaven. All right. Number three, lightning itself happens when you have a clash, actually, between positive and negative particles. And when negative particles sink to the bottom of a cloud and they get large enough, it creates a spark, and then boom, there's lightning. But the book of Isaiah mentions how the devil wanted to exalt himself and be above the clouds. He wanted to be at the Most High. So Christ mentions lightning for that reason. So, and furthermore, verse 19. Thus, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. There are three levels of demonic activity that can happen against a person in the body of Christ. You have serpents, scorpions, and the power of the enemy. They're all different, okay? Each level is called an echelon, E-C-H-E-L-O-N, echelon. Echelon, so the first one was missing is scorpions. You have a lower, a middle, and a higher. The lower echelon is scorpions, okay? The lower echelon basically consists of demonic activity that wants to prevent somebody from moving. It can consist of things like spirit of mishap, spirit of accident, things that are troublesome. Just strictly spirits that are troublesome. The spirits of echelon, the spirits are in the lower echelon, are the ones that do not inhabit someone per se. Like they're not interested in trying to be inside of the body, but they want to prevent that person from moving forward. So Christ mentioned scorpions because, naturally speaking, a scorpion is on the ground and it roams. A scorpion is a roaming arachnid. Is an arthropod that roams. It's always roaming the earth. So Christ mentioned scorpions because it's symbolic of a type of demonic activity that roams the earth, that wants to prevent and cause delays and things from moving forward. So he mentioned scorpions. Scorpions represent the lower echelon, okay? Now you have a middle echelon. The middle echelon are all the serpents. Now, scorpions, they all have a couple of things in common. They have a tail with venom that's attached to it. There is a single scorpion that I know does not have venom. But the middle echelon deals with serpents, which we know as snakes. And Christ mentions serpents because they all are different. You have some snakes that are venomous. You have some that are not venomous. You have some that are big and constrict and choke off oxygen. You have some that are small and they shoot venom. So Christ mentions serpents because there is somebody of demons that have different tactics, different strategies, different things that they try to do against a believer. So as somebody who walks in kingdom, you have to know and seek the Holy Spirit for guidance on what to do, because you can't always come or approach one particular scenario the same way every single time. The book of Mark chapter 9, verse 29 actually mentions the particular verse where the disciples had a hard time casting out a deaf and dumb spirit out of a child. It was the nine that couldn't do it. The other three were rejecting him, transfigured. But Christ said, this kind come out by prayer and fasting. That demon was on a different plane than what they were used to seeing. That's an example of how certain spirits can operate on different planes. So he mentions serpents because they are different. They don't always operate on the same level. So if you notice, the way that Christ explains, gives us the comparison, there's a gradual increase on how the attacks can vary. So you have scorpions, they're pretty much all the same. Then you have serpents as part of the middle echelon that can vary their tactics a little bit. Now you have the power of the enemy that deals with Ephesians chapter 6. When you're dealing with like spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So you have a lower, the middle, and the higher. So if you notice from lower to higher, it progresses in how the enemy tries to change his tactics. That's why we know this, because when he tempted Christ, and Christ was able to prevail by moving upon what was written. The Bible says the devil left him for a season. Why did the devil leave Christ for a season? Was because he left him because he was trying to re-strategize on how he was going to come against our Lord and strategize against the disciples. And when he popped up again, that's when he tried to come against Peter. And that's why Christ said, get thee behind me, Satan. So the Bible doesn't call the devil a serpent for no reason. It was basically giving us how it tries to change his tactics. Okay. So, but now you have the power of the enemy. That's in with the heavenlies. A good example of this was when Christ had to rebuke the spirits behind the storm. So that's an example of dealing with certain activity on that particular plane. And he says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. He's saying, don't rejoice in the authority, because the trace of your authority comes from that your name is written in the book of life. You have a place in heaven, and you're casting out demons that do not no longer have a place. Those demons are traced from entities that don't have a place in heaven. So he is saying, don't rejoice in fact the fact that it could be cast out and you have the authority. Rejoice in the trace. Rejoice in why you have the authority, because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Rejoice in that you are a savior, you are a child of God, that you are a citizen in the kingdom of the Lord. He's saying to rejoice. Rejoice in that, because that is where it is. I want to make sure that I hit everything that the Lord had wanted me to touch on. And let's see, the book of Matthew, verse 10. And this is where we're in. So the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. So once again, we have power that's given. Christ gave power to his 12 disciples, but the power enabled them to cast out demons and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So the Lord gave them power to do it. The power was enabled and delegated while Christ was on the earth. So when he ascended, he breathed the Holy Spirit on them, because the Lord never has this earth without a representative of his person. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, power was demonstrated. Power was demonstrated in the Old Testament so a record could be established on the earth. So when Christ came through the lineage of man, he gave that same power, because now power was given with access. So when he ascended, before he did, he breathed the Holy Spirit on the disciples and told them, wait until the Holy Spirit comes and you will be just enveloped. You'll be equipped with power upon high. He's basically saying, wait until the Holy Spirit comes. So the same power that you've seen witness can now flow through you. Power was demonstrated in the Old Testament. Power was given access during the time of Christ. And then when the Holy Spirit came, power was demonstrated through. It had to go from being demonstrated to access to flow through. That's kingdom. That's kingdom. It had to go from being demonstrated, given access, and can flow through. And that's what gave us the Great Commission towards the end of the book of Mark. So that's conclusion of this teaching on power in the kingdom of God. Since the call was broken up, I will put both parts on the Bible teachings portion of the website. So I will put both parts up there for continuous viewing and downloading. You can download this teaching and any other teachings on the site of a Google Chrome. It will allow you to download completely in an MP3 fashion. You can listen many times you desire. So, amen. Twitter handle is prophet_live. Facebook is Temple of Instagram is Temple of Rhema. And Facebook is also facebook.com/prophet_last as well. God bless you. This is Prophet Last.